Major's here, like all of our guests. He's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We have enormous news involving Major, which we'll get to in just a matter of minutes. But Major, the previous topic involved what makes a good to great wedding. So when Major Garrett is attending a wedding and you and the bride are headed home, the limousine picks you up, sometimes the helicopter, whatever it might be, and you talk to Laura and you said, that was a great wedding. What needs to happen for you to utter those words?
Live band.
What if the band is mediocre?
Well, I just believe a live band, even mediocre, is better than any other alternative.
Okay.
Because live music flows through a crowd differently. It creates a different atmosphere and energy. And the worst that a live band for a wedding is going to be is mediocre. And many of them will surprise you on the upside. So I just think a live band is great. And for me, I don't like weddings with so many flowers that if you're sitting at a table, you can't see anybody other than the people sitting right next to you.
That's very good. Sometimes it's just obscene. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Ugh. Put that out there on the Twitter machine. Major Garrett hates all flowers. That's what it is. Wants them all to die. No, you're absolutely just the centerpiece adds a lot. It's nice, but we don't need to have like we're in the middle of the azaleas at Augusta National.
And the other thing I would say, small wedding.
Small wedding. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the break number?
100.
100. Okay.
110.
Okay.
Yeah. Just because big weddings apply too much pressure to the couple,
that's
to the families.
Yes.
And people don't know each other. They simply don't. And the weddings that are smaller, most people have some connection or one degree of separation. And with one degree of separation, anyone can make small talk. That creates a good vibe. That creates a good energy. But if you have a really big wedding and a lot of people don't know each other, there's just these dead zones and they can't be helped. That takes down the collective energy of the wedding. So those are things I would say are consistent with the experiences that I've had when say that's a great wedding. That was super fun.
Okay, speaking of a good vibe and good energy, that's what the takeout had often. A project you dearly loved, put a lot of time into it, would say often the best part of your week was a part of the takeout where you would sit down with newsmakers across the spectrum, not just politicians, often at a great haunt, a great restaurant, bar, somewhere in the D.C. area, sometimes even on the road, and you would sit there and chop it up, literally chop up some food. And shop up the conversation, as you said to us many times, that can be such a great elixir when all of a sudden you're sharing a meal or a beverage and you open up and it went away. And guess what? The takeout is back. Congratulations. Fantastic news. Tell people the details.
So we have a show called America Decides, WCCO. The first in the nation to take that show.
Yes, correct.
It's our weekly political show, runs at 5 o'clock Eastern. That name, America Decides.
Done.
Yeah. It's kind of outlived its usefulness starting on November 6th.
They decided.
we decided. So we were in the process of creating a new name and a new identity for that show. Then I was named the regular anchor of the show after the election. And I'll just summarize things this way. There was a lot of corporate convulsions about what to call the new show.
I can only imagine.
I allowed those convulsions to run in many different directions. Confident that as those convulsions did not yield something that was satisfactory, I could come along with a title that would be, and I did. And I said, we're going to call it what we called my old show, The Takeout. Oh, I'm not so sure about that. Yes, we are. Took a while, but I persuaded people that it was really the best way to go because it's an existing brand. People know the show. People remember what it had, a great vibe.
Tied to you, also.
And it had me, yes, yep. But a relaxed tone.
Yep.
As I said all the time, relentlessly curious, steadfastly not ideological. We just want to learn. I said, I can take those sensibilities to a daily show. We will do the news. We will be on the news. We will be on what's happening in the political world. But we will also have fascinating conversations with people who are straight in the harness of politics, lawmakers, party chairmen, things like that, administration officials. We'll also have scientists, comedians, authors, documentarians, and the show will be a hybrid. It will be a daily show that has to live in the confines of a TV show. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
8-minute segments, 9-minute segments, 10-minute segments if we're lucky. But you got to go to commercial break. You got to come in and you come out. Okay, that's not the informal part of a podcast. However, we will have informal conversations. The set is a kind of set that feels informal. It will imbue in people a sense that, I feel like I'm sitting at the back of a bar. That's right. You're not in a super high gloss, high intensity, surgical Washington, D.C. TV studio. You're like at a big table just having a chat. We're going to have those sensibilities. And when we have long form interviews, I just did one today, which we're going to air a little bit of next week. We'll run parts on the confined TV show because every TV show is confined.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of it will run on the YouTube page and on the podcast platform. So you'll get both things in
Excellent.
Both places.
Remind people if they want to watch the show. I got to be honest, our 4 o'clock show here, this Jason DeRush guy, is brutal. I mean, I don't know how anybody listens to it at all. So I would gladly consume you. I already do. But, you know, and he's got a very massive ego. So, I mean, this will bring him down a little bit. In fact, he right now is being, the rosebuds are being laid out in front of him as he walks into the building. I love him. I'm kidding. How can people find the show? What's the easiest way to tell them how to find the show?
So it's on all over-the-top TV channels. So if you have the CBS News app, you just go there. It's on Paramount Plus. It's on all the other places that you find over-the-top TV news. Just have to put in Takeout with Major Garrett, and you'll find it. So it's on our streaming platform. That's available always, mm-hmm. all the time. It's on other streaming platforms, Paramount Plus. You can always find it. The show will be archived. And like I said, the podcast platform and the YouTube page will always be there. They never went away. When management ordered me to end The Takeout, I said, I'm keeping them. They're going to stay here because we're coming back. And then, how can you be so sure? I'm like, don't underestimate me. So we are coming back. I promised the audience in January we would come back.
Yes.
And here we are.
And also, Monday through Friday on this radio station, you sent me a photo of the set. You know what the set needs? The picture of the four of us who played Stone Eagle in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
Off in the corner. That's what the set needs. You looking like you want to break clubs over your knee at that point.
Yes, to be clear, Chad Hartman played Stone Eagle. I watched Chad Hartman play Stone Eagle, and I chased a lot of golf balls errantly in the process.
But you still had a great time.
I did. Yes. I did. It would be magnificent, magnificent golf course.
Yeah, it's
really
good.
And as I've said before, and I will always say it, watching you play golf is a thing of beauty.
I had a good day. Trust me, there's many, many bad days. All right, let's pause because guess what else is back? Not just The Takeout, but tariffs. Oh, yeah, we all missed the tariffs, didn't we? The tariffs are back. Back with the best in the business, Major. I'm going to talk about Aquarius. Aquarius. I talked about Aquarius at the Fan, then here because Dave was so tied to Aquarius in Connecticut, it made sense. But now, Dave and I are both talking about it. And it's not just that I'm talking about Aquarius on the radio. I have Aquarius at my house. I have had Aquarius at every place that I've lived in since 1993. So this isn't your silly fake talk host. Hey, what's my product? I got to talk about it. I know nothing about it. No, I used it today. When I woke up, talk host. Hey, what's my product? I got to talk about it. I know nothing about it. No, I used it today. When I woke up and used water for drink, used water for oatmeal, had a little laundry going, so the water softener was in play. Makes sense to go with Aquarius. This is a family-owned business. You want to have water that tastes great, that is safe, and is useful to you. They'll come out, AquariusHomeServices.com, and test your water. Get that drinking water system. You want to expand? These folks are one-stop shopping. I'm going to talk more about that coming up with cooling, heating, water treatment, plumbing, electrical. They can do it all. I love how Aquarius says earning the right to be recommended. They earn that every day. I trust them 1,000%. AquariusHomeServices.com. Right back with our friend Major Garrett, the president, in a tweet today. Talks about the European Union. They've been unfair, not negotiating trade deficit. And at the end, he says, therefore, I am recommending a straight 50% tariff on the EU starting June 1st of this year. Okay. I thought I just had heard the president the last couple of weeks saying that they were making progress. This is during the 90-day pause. This, I think this timing's rather interesting, considering the dinner he had last night. We'll get to that also, but what's your read on the president and the wording of this announcement?
That all the optimism that you heard from the president and top economic advisors to the president 2 weeks ago, everyone's rushing. They all want a deal. The deals are on the doorstep. We're going to announce them soon. Mm-hmm. We have one.
Yes.
With the United Kingdom. And it's not even a deal yet.
No.
It hasn't even been signed. One. Mm-hmm. Now, just a quick reminder. We have free trade agreements with South Korea and Japan already. Full-blown agreements, but they've been canceled by Trump. We have a free trade agreement negotiated by President Trump, approved by Congress with Mexico and Canada, eradicated by Trump because of his new tariff policy, and all the sense that, well, once I do this, once I set this in motion, I'm going to be in control. He told The Atlantic magazine, the president of the United States, the first term I ran the country, now I run the country and I run the world. The optimism, the sense that I run the world.
Yeah, they'll fall in line.
Is not manifesting.
Nope, not at all.
And if the tariff conversations are going his words again, I like to quote the president, though it aggravates him greatly to be reminded of what he said. Nowhere. What does that mean? That means your tariff policy and your either relaxation of it or pausing of it is not having an effect because nobody knows what you ultimately want. Do you want revenue? Do you want a rebalance? Do you want a reshoring? Do you want reindustrialization? All of those things filter through this conversation, but until our trading partners know actually what you want, they don't know how to negotiate with you. So they're not going to rush headlong into a deal when they don't know what you're trying to achieve, because they have economic interests of their own they are trying to protect. And if you want nations in the European Union, many of which are members of NATO, to have the economic wherewithal to boost their defense spending, which the president definitely does, they need stronger economic growth to do that, and they might think twice about trade deals with you that they fear might not work out as well for them as it will work out for the United States, harming them economically, making them less able to spend more money on defense as a strong and stout NATO member. What do you want? Which of these things do you want more, and can you communicate clearly to people how to get there? Right now, there's this imagery that the president has created with the Qatari jet, and then this week with the South African president, Cyril Ramaphosa. We won't go into all the other things he said, misusing the term genocide in a way that is borderline rhetorically criminal, but just turning into him and said, you know, we got a question about the jet. You know, if you got a jet, I'll take one.
Yes.
Whether that's serious or unserious, it is now baked into preparations every head of state has to bring to the table. Is this president, in public or in private, going to ask me for some sort of gift,
yes,
some sort of implied grease to what we're there to talk about? Those things make these hard trade conversations harder. That's a reality.
Last night, according to Caroline Leavitt, the press secretary, the president was on his own. He wasn't the president last night, mm-hmm, so there was, yeah, no need for transparency. Yeah. He was just, right, Don Trump, and he had a meeting on his crypto venture with who? We don't know. And there's some report on who was there, but they won't release who. This obviously is something where in the first Trump term, he just dismissed crypto. This is ridiculous. This is nonsense. Mm-hmm. Well, then he saw, wait a second, I can make an extraordinary amount of money, especially if I become the president of the United States and people fawn on me and they buy into my meme coin because they want access and what can I potentially give them. Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to say, hey, 9 to 5, I'm the president, and then I can go have dinner and have huge financial implications, and nobody needs to know about it. This is stunning, and it's happening right in front of our eyes.
It is. And consistent with what I have said many times on this program and elsewhere, the underlying ethos of Donald Trump's relationship to politics and office holding, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? He looks in every direction. What are you going to do about it? I'm doing this. What are you going to do about it? And he keeps challenging, and that's been consistent throughout this Trump 2.0, in every direction, pushing up against federal law, pushing up against the Constitution, pushing up against norms.
Like Harvard.
And this, like Harvard, exactly.
Yep.
But this is, so first of all, to your point, it is a 100% fabricated myth that there is such a thing as personal time for a president of the United States. There is no personal time.
Never.
You are president every second you are in office. From the moment you are sworn in to the moment the next president is sworn in, you are president all the time. You are never not president, ever. There is no personal time. There is no drawbridge you can pull up and say, well, the ethical constraints of the presidency are now over, and I will lower the drawbridge, and then they will resume. No,
yes,
they don't. And if people don't think this is not a pathway to persuasion, and I'm being diplomatic in that phraseology.
That was very kind of you.
Kid, you're kidding yourself.
Yeah.
Think about this. The pardon power of the president is unquestioned and cannot be checked. If you are a meme coin purchaser, you're on a list. If you have a client who needs a pardon, that client will pay you because he knows or she knows you're on the list. And that list will get your phone calls returned, your emails returned, meetings conducted because you're on this list. How did you get on the list? Because you put a bunch of money directly into a Trump company, directly into it while he's president.
And we never see the list.
And we never see the list. And one of the people that we do know who is there, I think it was the top bidder, is trying to get the Trump administration to either erase or minimize or reduce some civil penalties. I mean, this is happening in full public view, and it goes back to that phrase that always rings around my head with Trump. What are you going to do about it?
Great stuff as always, sir. Enjoy the weekend. Congrats on the takeout, and we will talk next week.
Great. Thanks.
Major Garrett, right here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Reminder, the Lindis Construction Time Check is 12:58, time to get 75% off installation labor on LeafGuard brand gutters before the heavy rains hit. Well, they've been hit. The offer ends end of May. Shaletta, early next hour with Feisty Friday. Up next, CBS and Laura Oaks.